In our updates this week, we already talked about the strong possibility that we would experience military attacks in Syria by the United States and other nations. And we pointed out in our update that several newspaper articles and magazines had talked about the fear of World War III. And then last night, of course, President Trump gave his speech announcing Syrian airstrikes, and The Express, a magazine from England, wrote an article with the title, World War III, Donald Trump Announces Syria Airstrikes. Now, in the article, they quoted Mr. Trump's speech. I'd like to just quote a few excerpts from it. He said, "The purpose of our actions tonight is to establish a strong deterrent against the production, spread, and use of chemical weapons." He went on to say, "We are prepared to sustain this response until the Syrian regime stops its use of prohibited chemical agents." And he concluded his speech with these words, "Tonight, I ask all Americans to say a prayer for our noble warriors and our allies as they carry out their missions. We pray that God will bring comfort to those suffering in Syria. We pray that God will guide the whole region toward a future of dignity and of peace. And we pray that God will continue to watch over and bless the United States of America." The reaction to those strikes was diverse, to say the least, in this country and around the world. The Huffington Post wrote this morning, "President Donald Trump's decision to strike Syrian facilities will likely be historically judged as a failure on Trump's own terms. On Friday night, officials said the US, France, and Britain hit a research site, a command post, and a store of chemical weapons. But such facilities are easily rebuilt." And other articles point out that since Syria was put on notice by President Trump, that for several days the possibility existed that there would be a strike, that they might very well have transported their chemical weaponry someplace else. The article in the Huffington Post goes on to say, "Assad has no reason for a major change in behavior unless that's essential for the survival of his regime. Though Trump hit Damascus on Friday night and suggested there might be further strikes, he has not yet directly threatened the government's survival." And that seems to be echoed in many other articles. Now, The Week wrote on April 14 that many of the president's prominent supporters do not share President Trump's enthusiasm. Fox News' Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham questioned the wisdom of the attack Friday night, with Carlson contrasting the decision with Trump's campaign rhetoric and Ingraham making a comparison to the war in Iraq. InfoWars host Alex Jones, in tears, said Trump backers have made so many sacrifices and now he is, crapping all over us. That's what he said. The Hill added that conservative commentator Ann Coulter also shared her opposition to the strike, retweeting a series of other conservative or right-wing figures who condemned the move and resurfacing Trump's own past tweets against military action in Syria. The Drudge Report linked to an article by Daily Caller saying that in the past, President Trump has warned many times against getting further involved in the Syrian civil war. Now, when you look at the reaction overseas, The Week pointed out that German Chancellor Angela Merkel on Saturday supported the strike, but German articles talked about the hypocrisy, because prior to that she had stated that Germany would not be participating in any military action. And now the articles in Germany talk about, again, an example of German inability and cowardness and hypocrisy when it comes to military involvement. The Telegraph pointed out that Europe overall, the European Council President Donald Tusk, and also Jean-Claude Juncker were very much in support of the strike. And so were Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Israel, to name a few. I believe Australia was also one. But of course, as to be expected, Russia, Syria opposed the strike. They also said that they destroyed several of the American missiles, but that seems to be completely and totally inaccurate. The word is that no American missile was intercepted at all, and no British missile and no French missile. Now, going back to the article by the Huffington Post, that was pretty much also the viewpoint in many of the German papers. Der Stern wrote, the United States has no strategy. They say that Assad can go on with what he is doing and what he has been doing since 2012 by killing many, many, many more civilians. Der Spiegel wrote that 100 rockets don't establish a strategy. They say that 99% of the 500,000 dead people killed by Assad were killed actually not by chemical weapons but by quote-unquote conventional weapons. And the article goes on to say that neither the United States nor their allies have established what kind of a strategy they are pursuing in Syria. This morning, in front of the UN, the United States stated that our strategy in Syria has not changed. And the question, of course, is what strategy? It looks like that there isn't any. And what has changed is the announcement first a couple days ago, actually, or a week ago, that America would withdraw their troops from Syria. And now it looks like the opposite is happening. But nevertheless, there's still talk about World War III because the fear is that Russia might do something. They have said they would react with other consequences, whoever and whatever that means. Of course, Iran is furious, as you can imagine. So is Syria. But the question I like to ask today is, does what we are seeing right now in Syria have anything to do with a World War III development? And the answer is clearly no. And there are many reasons for that. The main reason is the time isn't right, and the players are not the right ones. And I will explain that to you as we look at some of the scriptures in the Bible. First, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 17. Isaiah 17, and let's start reading in verse 1. And here we read, Isaiah 17, 1, the burden, or you could say the prophecy, against Damascus. Damascus, of course, the capital of Syria, and which has been in the news quite a bit now. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. Verse 3, the fortress also will cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 4, in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane and the fatness of his flesh grow lean. Now here's an interesting statement that Damascus will fall, it will be destroyed, it will become rubble. But at approximately the same time when Ephraim will also be destroyed, Ephraim, of course, we understand, mainly talking about the United Kingdom. It could also include Australia, New Zealand, Canada. And in a sense, Ephraim can also, in a summary term, refer to the United States of America as well. The time setting here is the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is a time just prior to Christ's return, following the beginning of the Great Tribulation. So it's around that time when these events are going to take place. And we know that Ephraim will be destroyed during the Great Tribulation, not prior to the Great Tribulation. It will be destroyed by a European power, modern Babylon, if you please. And it appears from the context here that that fate will also happen to Damascus, to Syria. It doesn't appear that prior to the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord, this will happen. Notice also another passage in Jeremiah chapter 49. Jeremiah 49, beginning in verse 23. This is, again, a prophecy against Damascus. And then certain cities are listed here. Hamath and Arpad are shamed, for they have heard bad news. They are faint-hearted. There is trouble on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Verse 24. Damascus has grown feeble and turns to flee, and fear has seized her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her like a woman in labor. Verse 25, why is the city of praise not deserted, the city of my joy? A better translation, like the RSV has here, how the famous city is forsaken, that city of joy. Verse 26, therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day. Another reference to the day of the Lord, that time span which is still ahead of us, which will happen after the great tribulation has begun. All the men of war shall be cut off in that day, says the Lord of hosts. I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad. Now, Ben-Hadad, obviously a figure of the future. It's not talking about the time of Jeremiah here, because it's an end-time prophecy. It's some kind of a person who, in other places, perhaps may be identified, but it's somebody, we don't know exactly who that person is. Now, the point is here that these events will take place in the future. In Amos chapter 1, we find another interesting passage. Amos chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Amos chapter 1 and verse 3. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. Because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron, but I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, that's actually the leading house in Syria, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar, or the defenses of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Avon, and the one who holds the scepter from Beth Eden. The people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord. So captivity is described, in addition to destruction of Damascus. Those who survive will go to Kir, become captives in Kir. Now, big debate as to who that Kir is. The Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary claims that Kir is a region subject to Assyria, which would make a lot of sense, modern Assyria. Other commentaries point out that this place of exile was in southern Babylon in the past and also in Assyria. So if history is a guide to what's going to happen, we find that Damascus will be destroyed, and the people of Syria, those who survive, will go to a place which might very well be a place subject to modern Assyria. What we can safely say is that in the end time, but apparently after the Great Tribulation has begun, Syria and Damascus will be destroyed, but not prior to that. Not prior to that. Now, we find an interesting passage, and you might want to turn to this later, in 2 Kings chapter 16, in verses 6 to 9, which talks about some historical events. Because historically, the king of Assyria invaded and took into captivity Syria. So historically, it was the ancient king of Assyria who conquered Syria and brought them to a place called Kir in captivity. So if this historical event has any meaning for us today, it could very well be that it's going to be the modern king of Assyria who is going to ultimately invade and destroy Damascus and Syria. And that would make an awful lot of sense, because you can think in terms of Daniel and the fact that a king of the north, that modern king of Assyria, will in fact invade the Middle East and will conquer many, many countries. Now, I said earlier, what we are seeing right now is not what the Bible talks about when it comes to the destruction of Damascus. Why can I say that? Because the wrong players are involved. There's no indication whatsoever that it's going to be America who is going to destroy Syria. Or, more importantly, that there ever is going to be a war between America and Russia prior to Christ's return. No evidence whatsoever, no hint even in the Bible that that will happen. So what we are seeing right now is, if anything, a kind of a preview, a foreplay, if you please, to what is going to come. It is not a preview of World War III. So we don't have to be that concerned when it comes to those events. I'm not saying that not further consequences in Syria might occur, but not to the extent many sensational newspapers and articles seem to be talking about it. Now, we have to focus on something quite differently, and that is on the development of Europe becoming a very strong army. That is the next step in the prophetic plan. When that happens, we will understand, we should, that then a war will break out between Europe and America, between Europe and Great Britain, between Europe and, chances are, Australia and Canada. That is what will establish and bring about the Great Tribulation. And in the process of those events, we will find that Damascus will also be destroyed. So we don't know how long Assad is going to be in power. It appears like that America is not interested in toppling that government. Russia is firmly established right now in Syria, and so is actually Iran. So it appears to me that things will go on in the way they are. Well, chemical weapons might be an issue, but that's all which is going to be talked about. And whether there are going to be further strikes, we don't know. It is possible. Maybe not that likely. But in any event, it will not lead to a ceasing of the terrible atrocities in that country when it comes to that civil war, which is going on since 2012, where millions or at least thousands upon thousands of people are killed. It's an unbelievable testimony of the inability of whatever nation you want to look at to stop those atrocities, and most are not even interested in doing so. It takes the return of Jesus Christ to put an end to these terrible events. And of course, human warfare will never bring about peace.